We turn our attention now to Tehillim Chaf Beis, Tehillim chapter 22. This is a psalm which is somewhat longer than the ones that we have been doing. It's a full 32 pesukim. I'll devote a little more time to this than to some of the others, and I will forego some of the deeper, more elaborate commentaries and try to adhere pretty much to the Radak, to the Derech HaPshat, to the simple and direct meaning, with, of course, one or two extra spins. The capital begins, Lam Natseach ala Yeles HaShachar Mizmor L'David. Again, this is instructions to the director of the music, a Mizmor L'David, but we have here a new phrase, ala Yeles HaShachar, which can have many, many meanings. Some say that Ayelet HaShachar, too, is some type of musical instrument. Some say that Ayelet comes from the word later in this capital, in Pasuk Chof Eyolusi, which means my strength. This is the strength of mourning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G. Chazal say Ayelet HaShachar is the morning star. And they also say that this is referring to Esther, to Queen Esther, Esther HaMalko. And indeed, on Purim, those who say a special capital Tehillim for each special day recite this Chaf Beis, Tehillim Chaf Beis, on Purim, and see all of it as related to the Megillas Esther. Radak feels that the proper explanation of Ayelet HaShachar is the Jewish people. The Jewish people are called Ayelet, which means a hind, H-I-N-D, a certain type of a deer-like animal. As the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Bitzvaos o Ba'ilos HaSodeh. So the Jewish people are compared to deer or to these animals known as Ailos, usually translated as hind. The common Jewish name today, Ayala, is a translation of the Yiddish word hinder, hinder being a hind, being this beautiful gazelle-like animal. And if that's the case, the Ayeles is this hind who is compared to the shachar, to the morning, to the dawn, because it is so beautiful. And so, too, this Ayelet HaShachar, this beautiful, beautiful, graceful nation, the Jewish people, is in Golos and calls out, Eli, Eli, Lomo Azavtoni, famous phrase, my God, why have you abandoned me? Radak feels that it's in the singular, my God, rather than our God, because the Jewish people in their great woe are speaking as one. Ki ish echod bagolus, belev echod. I am recording this particular lesson here in Eretz Yisrael, where just yesterday was the funeral for those of Achenu B'nai Yisrael who were killed in Mumbai in India last week. And the newspapers, of course, are carrying all sorts of poignant stories, but one of them is how in the shul in Mumbai, the little boy Moshe, who was saved, Moshe Herzberg, the son of the Chabad Shlichim, was at this memorial ceremony in Bombay, and at one point started crying, Ima, Ima. And of course, that just tore apart the entire audience. But that doubling, Ima, Ima, is true here too. Eli, Eli, my God, Lomo Azavtoni, why have you abandoned me? Now, Eli, of course, refers to my God in his aspect of strength. Eli, my strength, God who is my support, Chizki v'tzuri, why have you abandoned me? Why do I feel so lost? Rochok mishuasi divrei sha'agosi. Why are the words which I scream out, my divrei sha'agosi, why are they so far from being heard? As if it was written, lama, why divrei sha'agosi heim rechokim miyeshuasi? Why is it that my words are so far from Yeshua? A beautiful Hasidic spin on this phrase, Rachok Mishuasi Divrei Sha'agosi, which I wish to share with you very briefly. And it is attributed to the Hasidic sage of the mid-19th century, Rabbi Yechezkel of Kuzmir. And he tells the story, I'll try to abbreviate it, of a young prince who misbehaves and whose father, the king, sends him out to live a life in the wilderness, in the woods, with a bunch of wood choppers. After a long time, the king begins to long for his exiled prince, and he sends his assistants to go into the woods and to find the young boy and ask him what he wants. And the young boy says, when they come to him, well, what I would like is a new hatchet so that I could chop the wood that much more efficiently. And they come back and tell the king that all he wants is a little hatchet. And the king says, oh my, look how far this boy has fallen. He could have asked for the highest. He could have asked to return to the palace. You asked him, what does he want? We would give him anything. But he's lost his ambition. He's lost his idealism. All he knows is his current life, and all he wants is a little hatchet. So, too, when we pray often, we pray for things which are really devarim shel mabakach. We pray for trivial matters. Instead of asking God for getting closer to him, and instead of asking for sublime matters. Based on that story, we can understand this phrase. Rachok miyeshuasi divrei sha'agosi. The words which I cry out for are far from my Yeshua. Instead of praying for my Yeshua, for my ultimate salvation, for really sublime, high, lofty matters, I pray for two bits. I pray for trivia, for trinkets. Rachok miyeshuasi, far, far from my true Yeshua, from my ideal Yeshua, Nebuch, are my divrei sha'agosi, the words of my prayers. Elohai, my God, ekro yomom v'lo sa'aneh, I've called by day, and you did not answer, v'layla v'lo dumiyoli, and I've called by night. And indeed, I wasn't responded to. There's silence in response to my cries. And Chazal, applying this capital Tehillim to Purim, see this as alluding to the two times you read the Megillah, by day and by night. Ekro Yomam, the daytime reading of the Megillah, and Laila, the nighttime reading of the Megillah. V'yata Kadosh, but you, God, why are you not listening to me? After all, Yoshev Tehilos Yisroel, you are the God who sits. Remember, the Radak consistently throughout his Perush on Tehillim insists that the verb to sit, Leishev, Yoshev, Yoshav, means to sit permanently. It has a nuance of meaning of permanence, sitting steadfastly, sitting in a permanent position. Here too, God, you are permanently praised by the Jewish people. So how, therefore, can you not answer us? After all, our fathers have trusted in you. And again, the word is doubled, trusted. Our gods have trusted in you, Batru, and again, Batru, they have trusted in you, and you in the past have redeemed them, rescued them from their sorrows. Elecha Zaraku v'nimlotu, they have cried to you in the past, and they have been saved. So why not now? They have trusted on you, and they haven't been ashamed to do so. Again, notice three times in these psukim, hey, vav, we have the word botchu, trusted. We've trusted in you in the past, and you've come through for us. Why not now? And then a heart-rending, a tear-provoking several psukim, which describe the condition of the Jew in Galus. V'yanochi so la'as v'lo ish, I am so lowly, so disgraced, held so low when I am exiled, that I'm not even considered a human being. The Gentiles around me, the anti-Semites around me, look at me as some type of a worm, ketolas feloish, the Jewish germ, the Jewish scum, cherpas adomu v'zuyom, I'm looked at as being the most lowly, the most downtrodden, the most despicable of people. Kol roa yaligu li, whoever sees me mocks me. Yaftiru v'sofo, they mumble with their lips, they express with their lips all sorts of degrading and insults. Yoniu rosh, they shake their heads at me. They just look at me in such terms. I disgust them, and I feel disgusting because of this the attitude of them toward me. And then, after this interlude of describing what it feels like to be in exile, how lowly and worm-like one feels, then we go back to the bitachon, back to the trust, the ultimate trust in God. Gol el Adonai yifalatehu yatzilehu ki chofetz bo. Radak insists that gol here is an adjective, like lechem chom, warm bread, or mo'oz latom derech Hashem, tom being a person who is complete, who is tamim. So therefore, this means gol, the person who to whom the adjective can apply, that he casts or rolls his trust, his wishes onto God, as in the words of Radak, Shemisabev derochov usheelosov usfilosov el Hashem, that person of whom the adjective goal applies, he depends upon God, Yufaltehu, God will save him. Because God desires him, im chofetz bonu Hashem, or lehepech, ki chofetz bo, because he desires God, ki chofetz ha'odon bo'el, ki vichoshak fa'afalteyu. So therefore, the implicit prayer is, God, in the past we've had bitachon. We have bitachon now. Why do you not answer us now? After all, the trust is expressed in me from the very beginnings of my life, from my earliest infancy. Ki ato gochi mi boten, you God, you drew me forth from the womb. Gochi means to draw forth, as in the pasuk in Yecheskel, kapitel lamed veiz, vatogach b'naharusecho, which means to draw forth. How can you not save me? After all, you are the one who saved me in this truly dangerous moment of my birth when you helped me come into this world. And furthermore, Mavtichi al Shadeimi, I trusted in you. Miftach, you are the one in whom I placed my trust. When I was a helpless nursling, when I was nursing at the breasts of my mother, totally helpless, dependent really ultimately only upon God. Olecha hoshlachti meirochem, from the time I was drawn forth from the womb, I was cast upon you. My parents trusted in you. That's how they raised me. Hoshlachti, I was cast, I was thrown. Mi beten imi eli ota, from my mother's womb, from my mother's belly, I was already cognizant of the fact that you are my God, you are my strength. I'm totally dependent. This is the total bitachon, which is symbolized and exemplified by the infant, the helpless infant. And therefore the prayer is expressed, Al tirchak mimeni ki tzoro karova. So God, the God in whom we all place such great trust, such great dependence, do not distance yourself from me, because tzoro karova, because woe, trouble is near. Ki ein ozer, the feeling that there is no other place to turn, nowhere to turn. Ein ozer biltecho, there's no help except from you. And then the description. And here comes the whole menagerie of animals to whom our enemies are compared. Sivavuni porim rabim. I have been encircled by many cows or by mighty cows. The Radak suggests that the meaning of Rabim is Gedolim Bekoach. Powerful cows have surrounded me. Abirei Voshon Kitruni. The oxen from Boshon, which is a place of very fertile pasture land. So those animals are very powerful. These mighty poros haboshon, these mighty animals, these mighty oxen have surrounded me, kitruni. They've surrounded me like a crown. They've encrowned me. They're all around. I feel trapped in this circle. Potsu olai p'em. They have opened their mouths at me. They are ready to devour me. Aryeh torei fishoeg. They are like a lion tearing apart its prey and roaring. And Radak says, "Afal pisha ein derech haporim litrov." Cows are not usually a metaphor for the pouncing, devouring animal, but these cows are like the lion, and the lion roars when it has already when it anticipates its prey, as the pasuk says in Amos, "Hayishag aryeh bayar v'teref ein lo hayiten kefir kolo." When the lion knows he has his prey, that is when he roars. And so too, our enemies have entrapped us; they've got us, and that's why they are roaring with joy, delight over our entrapment. And then the metaphor of animals is left for a moment, and David begins to say what it feels like physically, what his body feels like in this great time of woe. Kemayim nishpachti. I am poured out. My body is spilled. It's liquefied like water. It's as if I've melted. V'hispordu kol atzmosoy, and my bones, which do not melt as easily as my fleshy parts of my body. So my bones have not melted, but they've become dislocated. They've become detached from each other. Hoyolibi kadonog, my heart is like wax, nomes besoch meoy, melted in the middle of my innards. David feels completely melted, completely weakened, completely liquefied. He's like jelly. He's no longer solid. There's no strength in him. And more so, David says, Yovesh kacheres kochi. Kochi, we would normally translate as koach. My koach, my strength, has become as dry as a shard. However, Radak, in the name of his father, has a different meaning of kochi. He relates it to the words of Chazal, kicho v'nio, which many of us are familiar from the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Bava Kamma. This refers to the spittle and mucus of a people, kicho v'nio. So that my spittle, my saliva in my mouth has become dried. Yavesh kacheres kochi, ulishoni mudbok mal kochoi, and my tongue has become cleaving, is now stuck to my jaws. Malkochoi being a word for jaws, as in the words of Radak, Hamalkochim hem hachanichayim lemailo mehaloshon. They are the cheekbones immediately above the tongue and immediately beneath the tongue. So my tongue is trapped in the jaws. I cannot speak. V'la'afar moves tishpeseni. I've been brought to the brink. Tishpeseni, from the words sefos hasir, the brink of the pot, of the kettle, of the cauldron. I'm standing at the brink of the grave. That's how weak and full of fright I am. And then back to the metaphor of the animals who surround me. Kiskisivavuni kilovim, because I've been encircled by dogs. Adas mereim hikifuni, a whole congregation, a whole group, a whole crowd of evildoers have surrounded me. Koari, like a lion, yodai viragloi, my hands and my feet. And here Radak gives us an interesting zoological insight. Zoologists out there will have to decide for themselves whether this is true of the behavior of lions, or it's just something that Radak and people of his generation believed, and that is that a lion walks around in a huge circle, and with his tail, or perhaps one of his glands, leaves a scent. a smell, so that everything within that circle is now encircled by this smell, and every animal that's within this large circle could be miles in diameter. Now, when they want to leave that circle, they smell the lion, they smell that scent, and they're afraid to go because a lion's nearby, so they go back to the center of the circle. And this way, the lion keeps all of these animals trapped in this invisible circle of the lion's smell, the lion's scent. And this causes everyone inside the circle to constrict their hands and their feet. Ko'ari yodai v'ragloi. Asaper kol atzmosoi. And here we have atzmosoi, of course, could mean bones, in which case it would mean I have counted my bones. Asaper kol atzmosoi. And I am so skinny because I am so hungry that you can see my bones that I can count them. But Radak suggests another meaning, which is very, very beautiful. That is, Atzmosai here does not mean my bones, but it means the mighty ones. Because who are the people who have encircled me? The masses, the crowd, the riffraff, the rabble. These are the lowly anti-Semites who have encircled me. And therefore, I go to the nobles, I go to the king, to the pope, I go to those who are atzumim, to those who are mighty, hoping that they will hear me. This is a story that's happened many times in Jewish history. But, heimo yabitu yiruvi, they look at me like a fool. They just look at me with scorn. They look at me with, as the Radak puts it, ri'iyas bizayon volag, they mock me, they scorn me, they don't listen to my pleas. So the meaning would be asaper l'chol atzmosoi. I tell all these atzumim, all these great people, and heimo yabitu yiruvi. It reminds me of a fact. This is not a story, but just a few days ago, I attended a memorial event in memory of Rav Hagon, Rav Yitzchok Aizi Halevi Herzog, the second Rav Haroshi in Eretz Yisrael, the first Rav Haroshi of Medinas Yisrael. And as you know, he was a great hero doing great rescue work during and just after the Shoah. And during the Shoah, he tried to get an appointment with Pope Pius XII. And Pope Pius XII would not give him an appointment. And finally, after the war, he came again to Pope Pius XII and asked him for his help in rescuing Jewish children who were being held in Christian churches and monasteries, etc. And he came to the Pope. This time the Pope did receive him, but the Pope did not answer him. The Pope just looked at him, as it says here, Yabitu Yiruvi. The Pope looked at him with Radak's words, Ri'iyas Pizayon Volag, looked at him with disdain and scorn. And when Rav Herzog left the Vatican that day, it went into the Jewish section of Rome. This is soon after the war, and the mikveh then was restored. He asked to be brought to the local mikveh, and he immersed himself in the mikveh to cleanse himself from the tumah that he felt in front of that Pope Pius XII and his Ri'iyas La'ag Ubizayon. So how apt are these words, Asaper Kolatz Mosoi, I told my story to the mighty ones, but they just looked at me with disdain. And my fate in Golos is Yechalku V'Godai Lohem, they strip me of my clothing, the images of the Holocaust, of course, again, they take away all my clothing, and they divvy it up among themselves, V'Yal Levushi Yapilu Gorol, on my special clothing, my fur coats and whatever, they cast lots to decide who will take it. This is, now next pasuk, however, is the contrast. V'Yato Hashem Al Tircha, God, this is my condition. This is that I'm trapped, I'm encircled, I'm scorned and I'm mocked and I'm weakened and I feel like molten wax. God, don't keep yourself distant from me. Hey, yo, Lucy, you are my strength. Liezrosi Husha, hurry, hasten to my assistance. Hatzila mecherev nafshi, save my nefesh from the sword. Miyad Kelev, save from the hands of the dog. Yechidasi, my unique one, my only one. And Radak says, Yechida means the neshama, not only the soul, but the inner soul. In the Kabbalistic literature, there are five souls. There's nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida. Yechida is the soul of souls, the innermost spiritual soul. God saved that soul from the hands of the dog. These words Chazal put in the mouth of Mordechai as he prays that Esther, who is his yechida, his precious one, be saved from that kelev, from that dog. Hoshieni mi pi ariyeh, save me from the mouth of the lion. Umi karnei remim anisoni, and answer me from the horns of the reim. The reim is an animal of some sort. Some suggest it might be the unicorn, but it's a mighty, or the rhinoceros, it's a mighty, mighty animal with a horn or with horns, and David asks to be saved from those horns. What happens when a Jewish person, David HaMelech or any Jew, is saved? What happens to the Jewish people when they are redeemed from Tzoros, when they are freed from the circle of entrapment that we have been exploring, that we have been discussing? Well, here comes the end. Here comes that end, that phase of the process of the story. When that happens, God, and I am saved, Asapro Shimcho Le'echoi, I will recount your name to my brethren. Again, brethren could mean the nations of the world who are our brethren, the descendants of Esau, the descendants of Ishmael, they're all our brethren. Or it could be that we who went through Tzoros and are saved will tell our story to those Jews who were not in Tzoros and did not experience any particular deliverance. The Jews of America being told the story of the Holocaust by survivors who say, Asapro Shimcho Le'echoi, I will tell of your name to my brothers. Besoch Kohol Ahalalech, I won't keep it a secret. I won't keep the story of my redemption quiet. I will praise you betoch kahal, in the middle of a great congregation. I'll spread the word. Pirsume nisa, Hanukkah is coming. Pirsume nisa, spreading the word. And different Jews will experience this praise and will recite this praise in different ways. Yirei Hashem, those of us who are in the category, the high category of being God-fearing, hallelujah, they will praise God. Kol Zera Yaakov, those who are of a lesser, still high enough sort, of a middle class spiritually, they may not reach the level of hallelujah, of great praise, but they will reach the level of kabduhu, of giving kavod, of telling of God's glory. Viguru mimenu kol Zera Yisrael, those who are the lowest class spiritually, they're not capable of halaluhu, of kapduhu, but they are capable of guru mimenu, of having, of being God-fearing, of being afraid of God, of trembling before God. So these the three phrases in this pasuk refer, and I'm following Radak with a little editorial license of my own in explaining that this pasuk is describing three sorts of people at three different levels of hakorah, three levels of recognition of God's might, and how they praise God and respond to God all positively but all in different ways. Ki lo vozo v'lo shikatz enus oni, because God has neither scorned nor rejected the prayer of the helpless. V'lo hishtir ponov mimenu, he has not hidden his face from us. This is the first time, if I'm not mistaken, in our study of Tehillim, that you have the concept of God's hidden face, a very, very important concept which repeats itself. We find it originally in the Chumash itself, but it will repeat itself several times in Tehillim. In this case, God did not hide his face from us, but rather, uvishavo elov shomea, he heard us when we called to him. Me'itzecho tihilasi b'kohol rov, nedorai ashalem neged yireyov. The real Kiddush Hashem is to praise God in a great congregation, to praise God publicly, and not only publicly, but publicly before other Jews. Ashalem neged yireyov. Yochlu anovim v'yisbo'u. the humble, the Jewish people who have been humbled and starved, in many ways starved, will now be satiated. They will now be satisfied. Yahalu Hashem Darshov, those that seek him will praise him. Yechi Levavchem Lo'ad, their hearts will live forever. And here Radak says that the living heart, Yechi Levavchem, is similar to Vatechi Ruach Yaakov. Yaakov's spirit was revived. The opposite of Shmuel Aleph, Kapitel Chafei, Vayomos Libo, his heart died. Because, in the words of Radak, Kisheha Adam Bitzoro Libo Meis, when a person is in great difficulty, his heart is dead. As we will see later in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuftes, Libi cholal bekirbi, my heart is dead within me, like a corpse inside of me. But says Radak, uchishiyetse mehatzoro lirvocho, when he comes out of this great trouble into the wide open spaces, he feels free. Hine yichye levavo, his heart is revived. He is alive again. Yizkeru v'yashuvu b'al Hashem kol afsei oretz, yishtachavu lifonecho kol mishpechos goyim. And here there's another vision, and that is that not only will those of us, the Jewish people, who are rescued from Golus, have a return to God, but so too will all the nations of the world, all of humanity, will be brought back to God. That's the meaning of Pasuk Chavches. Yizkeru v'yoshuvu l'Hashem kol afsei oretz, from all the corners of the earth, all the extremities of the earth. V'yishtachavu lefonecha kol mishpechos goyim, all the families of the nations will bow before you. Ki l'Hashem hamlucha, they will recognize that majesty is God's. U'mosheil ba'goyim, God has dominion over all the nations. Again, reminiscent of the words of Zechariah Hanavi, Kapitel Yudalid, V'hoyo Hashem lemelech al kol ha'oretz, the universal acceptance of God. And here, for the next pasuk Lamed, Radak shares with us a very, very beautiful perush, which is that Radak approves of. He approves of his father's perush, although he offers Ibn Ezra's perush, but rejects it and adopts his father's perush and says of it, Yashikoyach pap, v'nachon hu zeh haperush. This perush is correct. And it's really very beautiful. Because we often ask the question, what does it mean all the nations of the world will return to God on that day when the Jewish people are finally rescued from Golus? And God will accept all these nations. Will he also accept those who murdered Jews? Will he also accept the terrorists and the Nazis and those who brutally kill Jews because they do tshuva at the end of time, at the time of Moshiach, at the time of the Geula? So Radak's father explains as follows. Notice Pasuk Lamed. Ochlu v'yishtachavu kol dishnei eretz. That all the Dishnei or Eretz, all those who previously, their only sin was that they were fat, that they were prosperous, that they didn't have the troubles that the Jewish people had. But they didn't participate in the persecutions and the pogroms and the Holocausts. They stayed by and they were Dishenim. They waxed fat. Those people, when they turned to God in the end of time, and bow to him, God will receive them. Ochlu v'yishtachavu kol dishnei oretz, they will continue to have the benefit of the luxuries, the pleasures, the material benefit. However, next phrase, lifonav yichru'u kol yordei ofor. However, those, v'nafsho lochiyo, those who participated in the murder of Jews, those who participated in genocide, those who participated in pogroms and in all sorts of murderous acts against the Jews, these will be yordei ofor. They will be damned forever. They will not be among the dishnei eretz. They will not be among the goyim who at worst were neutral. Rather, lefonav yichru'u kol yordei ofor. And Radak applies to this group of goyim the phrase from Yoel, which we're familiar with from the Tfilos, v'nikesi damam lo nikesi. This is the revenge that we ask for when we say of a person who was killed by our enemies, Hashem yinkom damov. There will be a time, Radak says, of tashlumim, of repayment. That God can forgive the goyim, but aval dam ha adam lo yichlu lishalem lefikach yihye nafshom tachas nafshom v'nachon hu ze haperush. This commentary says Radak is correct, is proper, and the apostle continues and concludes: Zera ya'avdenu, the descendants of the Jewish people will continue in the ways of their fathers, Yusupa Ladonoi Lador, and that although the nations of the world will return to God, but they will not be called Zera Yisroel. Zera Yisroel, Am Yisroel, that Am Hashem, that will only be Yisroel. The Hula Vado Yusupa Ladonoi Lachol Dor Vador. Only the Jewish people will be in the special situation of Zera Yavdenu Yusupa Ladonoi Lador for generations. The other Goyim either will be Yordei Ofar, if they were murderous, or they will be Dishenim V'Ra'ananim, if they were neutral, but the Jewish people will be Ovdei Hashem and Am Hashem. And those who come out of Golos will have a special, special task, and that is to tell their story. The survivors must tell their story. Yavo v'yagidu tzidkoso. They will come and they will tell of his righteousness. In the words of Radak, ha'olim ha'golos, those who come out of Golos, sheyavo mikol afseyoreth, they're ingathered from all the extremities of the world. They will come v'yagidu tzidkoso, the rest of the word, la'am nolad ki osa, to the future generations, to those not yet born, to those now being born who never heard the story. Klomar, says Radak, livnehem yagidu tzidkoso she'osolohem. They will tell their children the story of their great rescue, because after all, the children did not see the ma'aseh Hashem asher esoimohem, and therefore it is upon the avos lahagid lohem. Here too, and I will not share with you anything but the fact that here too, Radak concludes with another one of his polemics against the Christian interpretation of Kapitel Chaf Beis. The Radak rebuts that interpretation phrase for phrase. It's worthwhile to consult a uncensored commentary of Radak and study that on your own. But we will conclude Kapitel Chaf Beis at this point.